test this out, we're doing good. Can you tell I'm full of faith? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Deep waters. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is an exciting year and a good time of breakthrough. And just to see all the remembrances of things that have happened throughout the course of a year. You know, the way they say that you judge the church or you determine the success or the growth of a church many years ago, and some organizations still do, is based on the number of people that are in the church and how much that corporate people are impacting people that are around them as, you know, for the success of the church. But for an apostolic-based church, it's not the size of the church, it's the amount of impact that the church makes nationwide and internationally. Amen? And the impact of this church, you know, throughout the state of Indiana, throughout contiguous states, throughout the nation, and internationally is phenomenal. Amen? And is probably beyond number. Amen? And so it's exciting to be here in an apostolic-based church, amen, where there's a Father's heart, a Father's presence here, amen, to reach out to the community and to make a difference in the atmosphere. Yeah. Amen. And just let's chat with you for just a moment. The Lord moved my wife and I to the thriving metropolis of Versailles, Indiana, which is a population of about 4,000 people or less. And the Lord moved us there in 1992 to begin to rebuild a church in that geographical area and establish what we're calling Christian International Central Headquarters, amen, to begin to build churches, you know, in this central part of the United States. And so when we arrived there, the town was very beaten down, it was really not a pretty place at all. And the Lord moved us way out into the country where 50 acres of land just up in the middle of somewhere. Hallelujah. And I had to rename that. Amen. And so you have to go up a hill. So I called it Hallelujah Hill. Amen. Out in the middle of somewhere where everything's happening. Glory to God. Amen. And so I just began to stir up, you know, the anointing in that place. But the Lord gave me a vision when we moved there. And to begin to pray for the city and begin to pray for things to happen in the city. And one of the things the Lord told me to pray for, he says that I'm going to move retirement communities here. Not that it'll be older people, but it will be a place where people will want to move to, amen, and then work from there out to major cities, which is within an hour and a half of Versailles. And so I began to pray for that. Well, since that time, in the last 25 years, amen, they've built 3 retirement communities and senior homes in Versailles, Indiana. Amen. And then the Lord gave us a vision for that 50 acres. And part of the vision is to build a community center out there in the middle of somewhere. Amen. Where families could be a part of that, and it could be an outreach ministry, and you know, it would reach the community, and just a lot of different things. And but I began to really pray for that, and I had intercessors praying for that, and we just really prayed for that. And would you believe, within about 5 miles of us, right in the heart of Versailles, Indiana, the Baptist Church built a community center. I said, "Hallelujah!" I was praying wrong. God, what am I praying wrong here? So I went back to the drawing board, began to pray again. Amen. And then to the east of us, another 5 miles, another Baptist church built another community center. I said, God, what am I praying wrong? I'm supposed to build a community center. And he said, if you're doing what I called you here to do, then everything around you will begin to prosper. Amen. And I just want to leave that as a deposit in your businesses. If you're doing what God called you to do, don't look at the success of how you are compared to somebody else. But everything around you should begin to prosper if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. And there's a lot of changes that are happening in Elkhart, Indiana. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible speaks about a day that is coming upon the earth that eyes have not seen and ears have not even heard yet of the great and mighty things that God will do upon the earth. Amen? So is it, amen, with the river of life. Amen. Great and mighty things that God's going to do in Elkhart, Indiana, because, amen, of the faithfulness of the vision and the vision holders of this house. Amen. Even in accordance with our sister's testimony there. Amen. But God is just doing phenomenal things. Amen. I just got back from Dallas, Texas, and, amen, to see the glory of God in that area. And Apostolic Church is pioneering just like we're pioneering here. Amen. But things are happening in that geographical area, and things are happening in the state of Indiana because this church exists. Amen. And so never look at the numbers, never look at those things, even though it is nice to have numbers, but that's not the measuring that the Father uses for the prosperity, the growth, and the fulfillment of that vision in that geographical area. Amen. And so praise God. Let's give your pastors a hand. They've just done a tremendous job. Tremendous job. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to jump right into sharing some words with us tonight for a few moments. And I come prepared in my spirit. I've been preparing all day, amen, in prayer, amen, that there's some that God wants to minister to tonight, amen, and we want to minister to you as well. But I want to minister a corporate word to us, amen, that it should be geared towards your family, should be geared towards your business, and geared towards our church, amen. And there's some words that I want to deposit into the atmosphere. Some things just need to be spoken in the atmosphere, because our battle is not with flesh and blood, our neighbors, the government, the police department, or it's not with the, you know, it's not with the unsaved, it's not with the to create problems, but our battle is with principalities and powers of darkness and evil. Amen. And they try to rule in that second heaven atmosphere, which I kind of feel like if you can get about 6 inches off the ground, amen, you're in that second heaven. Has anybody ever just been walking around, all of a sudden you felt this depression trying to come against you, trying to rob you of your joy? All of a sudden you don't feel good, you don't know why. Amen. That's principalities and powers trying to rule in that second heaven, amen. But into the third heaven, amen, they have no power, they have no authority, amen. And so I was in a prayer meeting, and the Lord told me to put my fist in the heavens, and I stood in the service with my fist in the heavens, and then I asked God, why am I standing here with my fist in the heavens? Sometimes God will ask you to do things that feel out of place. One time he asked me to take my coat off and put it on inside out. That is out of place for me. Amen. Hallelujah. But I stood with my fist in the heaven, and I asked God, why am I standing this way? He said, because when you put your fist in the heaven, you just broke through the second heaven, and you just reached into the third heaven. Come on now. And then he told me, I want you to grab heaven, and I want you to pull heaven to earth. Come on now. And for just a moment, I felt like, God, am I missing it? Can I back this up? How can you support this? And reminded me in Matthew 6, God said, I'm not going to ask you to pray something that I'm not willing to do. Come on. He said, I told you, when you pray, pray my kingdom come, my will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So he said, go ahead, pull heaven to earth. Amen. So sometimes you just have to break through the second heaven, amen, and know that there's a higher domain, know there's a higher authority, know there's a greater glory, and we have to reach beyond where we're at and reach into the heavens. Amen. Can I encourage business people tonight? Amen. Go back to your businesses and just begin to pull the glory of God down upon your business. Come on now. Why? Because God wants to bring transformation in the marketplace, your ministers in the kingdom of God. Amen. Husbands and wives, go home. Amen. Begin to reach past that second heaven and just begin to pull the glory of God down over your household. Amen. Look at somebody saying it's a new season. You know, the devil would want you to think that you don't have any right, but I'm here tonight to tell you, amen, that you need to fight the good fight of faith, amen, come against principalities and powers, amen, and begin to make a new connection with the kingdom of heaven, amen. Look at somebody saying larger borders. Amen. Some of the theme of our of our anniversary, our celebration is reaching higher and growing stronger and going deeper. Amen. Well, in order to do that, you have to move out of the place and you have to shift from where you're at to that next level. Look at somebody and say, shift. Amen. So we're learning, amen, how to, just because we're coming against some oppositions, we're learning how to gear down. We're learning how to shift in the spirit rather than giving up. We're learning how to shift, amen, so we can go to that next level that God is calling us into. Amen. So this weekend, I'm going to be sharing about enlargement, about securing our borders, amen, and about rebuilding, amen, in the place where God has you. Amen. And so we're going to try to make a connection with all of that. In my process of this, I want to share a couple of prophetic words with you. And I'm only going to give you excerpts. I'm not going to give you the whole word. I'm just going to give you a few excerpts of some words that I feel are very important to us this year. And understanding that when God releases a prophetic word to you, amen, it's not just for that moment. It's from that moment on. Say, from that moment on. I was preaching in Dallas this last week about not forgetting what God has already told you. Not forgetting the word that He has already spoken to you. Amen. We're always excited for that next phase, that next word. Amen. And we should rightfully be so. I don't know how you read the Bible, but I'm always looking for something new when I read this Bible. Come on, I don't want to just read the same story. I don't want to read just the same event over and over. There's a revelation about something that I'm reading, and I want God to begin to open that up and unveil that and reveal it into my spirit. Amen? So that I can hear clearly, you know, what God is saying. So we should be looking for that next level, that next place in the Father. Amen? And so when you receive a prophetic word, it is to activate from that moment and forward. Now, Bishop Hammond, the president, founder of Christian International, my brother-in-law, amen, he released a word here a couple years ago that I thought was interesting, just speaking about prophetically and measuring the times prophetically. We don't know the day, the hour, the minute. We don't know when things are going to be fulfilled for sure. Not absolutely. No man does. Amen. But he was just saying, there's a sensing, amen, that when a prophetic word comes, it could take anywhere from 6 months to a year before you really begin to see something happen with that word. Now, that's not a law or a rule, amen, but it just appears to be that way. Amen. Because I've seen a word of the Lord come forth, and before people get home, it's already activated, already happened. Or the word was happening as it was coming out of our mouths. Amen. But then there are those times corporately when God speaks to the church at large. Amen. That from the time that word comes to the time that word begins to be activated is close to a year. Amen. So that means the word you heard last year, amen, you should be right on the threshold of fulfillment. Look at somebody, say fulfillment. You know, and sometimes we start looking for that next word and we forget the word that God has already given us. Amen. Let me encourage you tonight. Go back, reread your prophecies. What has God already spoken to you? Because you're right on that peripheral. You're right up that threshold. Amen. A fulfillment of that word. Amen. And so when a word is released in the beginning of the year, that's when the word begins, and it's from there forward. Amen. And so, for example, in 2008, amen, we heard a word about the gates of heaven, amen, and how gates were going to be again to open up, amen. In 2007, we heard a word about replevin, amen, and understanding that the word replevin is a legal term, actually meaning go into the enemy's camp and take back what was wrongfully taken from you, amen. And you know what? That word is active right now. Are y'all with me? Amen. Words that have already been released to you, it's waiting, amen, for you to prophesy to the word that you've already received. Activate your faith and come into alignment with what you already know. Why? Because God's not through yet. Amen. Look at somebody and say, He's not through yet. Amen. There's more coming. There's more coming. Amen. So I want to release three excerpts of words. Amen. Because I want it to be in the atmosphere over this house, over Elkhart, Indiana. Amen. Over Northern Indiana, over your businesses, over your families and your households. Amen. Because I believe this is a time that God says, I'm expanding my kingdom on earth. Come on now. Sometimes we're looking for something to come when it is already here and we have not interacted with it by faith. Amen. So this is a time of interaction. It's a time of moving into that next place. Amen. I believe in 2019, amen, is going to be exciting. But one word I know for sure in my spirit for 2019 is going to be about faith. Everybody say about faith. And using that word in a military sense, amen, that is really a word of authority, amen, that you do a total about face and you face your enemies. Amen. Look at somebody say, I'm not giving up. Amen. You do an about face and you confront your enemies. You confront your opposition. But Bishop Hammond released a word this year, amen, that we're still praying, we're still decreeing. But here's basically a part of the word that he released. He said, as you co-labor with God this year, say co-labor. Amen. As you co-labor with God this year and you're obedient to His commandments, amen, He said it is going to be a very glorious and prosperous year. Say glorious and prosperous. Now, it's interesting. I spoke with Bishop he's been in South Africa, but I spoke a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, as I've been speaking that word and as I prophesied that word, I haven't seen that word come to fulfillment yet, but he said, I am determined that I'm going to keep decreeing it, I'm going to keep believing it until I see it revealed and I see it happening. Amen. And so sometimes you have to believe the word in your heart, amen, to where you keep decreeing the word, keep believing the word, amen, until God brings that word to fruition. But he said, as you co-labor with God, in other words, you become doers of the word and not just hearers only. Say doers. Amen. In James 1, 24 and 5, that word doers actually means as you work the word or as you put the word to work. In other words, whatever the word says, do what the word says. Amen. As you co-labor with God this year, as you work the word, as you put the word to work, and you're obedient to His commandments. Amen. Whenever God speaks about His love, amen, He speaks about His love and His commandments. Amen. How many of you know God has boundaries? Come on, God has boundaries. Amen. He has laws of life and laws of faith. Amen. That we need to walk according to His commandments, according to His laws. Amen. But as we're obedient with the Word and we obey His commandments, it'll be a glorious and a prosperous year and a breakthrough for you. Look at where somebody say it's coming. Amen. That's been almost a year ago, and I'm here tonight preaching, amen, and declaring that same word, amen. And if Bishop Hammond's concept is anywhere close to right, amen, then we're right in that place of having a glorious and a prosperous breakthrough. Come on now. In other words, turn around for your businesses. Turn around for your families. Turn around for your churches. Turn around for your community. Amen. Turn around for our state. Amen. And the city and the places where God has established us. Look at somebody and say, it's my time. God, it's your time. It's our time here at the river. Amen. To not only preach it. Amen. To begin to walk in the overflow and begin to walk in the blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you need somebody to come in from the outside to tell you what we're seeing that you can't see. Come on now. As I even drove up on the property yesterday afternoon, I can see changes. I can see difference. I can see things that are happening. Sometimes it's happening all around you, but because you're so involved, you don't really pay full attention or you don't really get the full grasp of everything that is changing. When I walked into the sanctuary this evening, amen, I could feel a shift in the atmosphere. Come on now, things are shifting, and you, as the church, we need to shift and get right into the shift of what God is changing. Amen? So over your households, over your homes, over your business, over your personal life, amen, it'll be a glorious and a prosperous year. And Bishop Hammond said it will be a lot like on the day of Pentecost. Come on now. How many of you know Acts chapter 2 when Jesus began to command the apostles and He said, I want you to go to an upper room and I want you to wait there until. Everybody say until. How would you like to be told to go someplace until? Until what? And Jesus said, you'll know when you get there. Well, what is it? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. Well, what's it going to look like? You'll know when it comes. How many of you like to have an idea of what you're going to and what it's going to be when you get there? Come on now. But here is Jesus speaking to the apostles. He says, go to this upper room, and I just want you to wait there until, amen, I send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He's going to dwell with you, walk with you, live with you. Come on now. Woo! It's going to bring a transformation and a change. But He said, go in that place and just wait until. Come on now. But listen, there was a time, amen, for fulfillment of the coming of the Holy Spirit. As they went and they waited, come on, the Bible says suddenly, everybody say suddenly. I preach on suddenlies a lot, but I've also learned that for every suddenly, there's a process. Say a process. And sometimes you can give up in the process and you miss your suddenly, but I'm here tonight to decree that you're not going to miss your suddenly. You're going to be right on time. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, don't get weary. Come on, don't get weary in well-doing, faint yet pursuing. Come on now. Stay in the race. Stay in the place that God has called you to. Why? Because God honors His word above His name, and He is faithful to His word. Say He is faithful. Come on, I just see miracles in the atmosphere tonight. I just see the glory of God resting upon this congregation. We may be few in number, but that does not limit the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. As you begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, God begins to open the windows of heaven and He begins to pour out upon you. Come on now. So the Bible says, suddenly the Holy Spirit came. Can you imagine for just a moment, amen, what it would have been like, amen, to be in a city where thousands of people were gathering together for celebration, and here's 1,000 or 500 that's up in the upper room, amen, crowded, jam-packed in, waiting for something to happen, babies crying, amen, apostles trying to figure out who's going to be the 12th apostle of the Lamb, and you know, and they're spinning a bottle or handing a the shortest straw, somebody's got to be in. Hallelujah. Trying to hear God, trying to work it all out. Amen. Everything is, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes. Theologians say it was kind of like a tornado that actually came into the city that really turned things upside down. It was loud. Come on now. And yet people could begin to hear the Holy Ghost speaking in their own languages. Come on now. And the power of God was so manifested on that day of visitation. I like what I always heard Dr. Fuchsia Pickett say. She said it was one of those times when Daddy liked to show off. Come on. There are times when Daddy just likes to show off. Come on now. And He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, for the first time, amen, to be present upon the earth. You know, sometimes we hear these things, but we don't really grasp in our heart and spirit, amen, the empowerment of it and the authority of it, the glory of it, the joy of it. Come on now, that the Holy Spirit has come and He dwells upon you. Come on now, and He now lives within you. And He said it'll no longer be Christ with you, but it will be Christ in you. Say Christ in me. Why? You got to know that the power of God infuses you. Come on. Every step that you take, every word that you speak, come on now. Every ounce of faith that you activate and that you relate, it is the power of the Holy Ghost that is in you. Sometimes I have to pinch myself, amen, and say, I'm not just a man, I'm a superhuman being. Hallelujah. Why? Come on. Why? Because there's something powerful on the inside of me. Look at somebody say, He's in you. Come on, church. God, listen, we're in an apostolic shift where God is shifting people from just admiring or just desiring to hear somebody else preach. Come on now, to where they want to feel that move of the power of the Holy Ghost in their own life. Look at somebody say, it's for you. It's not just to keep you. It's not just to sustain you. It's not just to encourage you. It is to empower you, amen, to bring the glory and the power and the fire of God upon the earth as it is in heaven. You know, sometimes we pray, God, let your glory come. Let your will come when it has already come. And we just need to activate what is already here. Whoa, come on. Look at somebody say, reach up higher. Come on, that's what we're speaking about. As the eagle soars, come on, there are higher planes, there are higher things that God wants to do. There's a higher atmosphere that He wants to bring you into. Amen. So Bishop Hammond said it will be much like on the day of Pentecost, suddenly. Look at somebody say, suddenly.
One day you're believing for your miracle, and the next day the miracle is here. One minute you're hoping, and the next minute it is here. Suddenly, God begins to open the window of heaven. Suddenly, God begins to give you a breakthrough. Suddenly, God begins to break the spirit of heaviness. Suddenly, God begins to release a new heart of worship in you. Suddenly, God begins to do a brand new... What? Suddenly, you got a check in the mail. Hallelujah. Suddenly, a miracle was released in your body. Suddenly, the joy of heaven just began to fill all about you. Say suddenly. Amen. So I just want to release that word into the atmosphere that this will be a glorious and a prosperous year. Come on now. And suddenly, God is bringing a kingdom shift in your behalf. He is shifting your family. He's shifting your business. He's shifting your church. He's shifting your sphere of influence. He's shifting your vision. He's shifting your dream. He's bringing you to a place that you have not been in yet. Look at somebody say, it's our time. Come on, it is our time. And God said, I want you to reach higher than what you have been reaching because I have more for you. Yeah. Come on, don't ever mellow out when you come into this sanctuary. You should be the most radical person walking in shoes. Come on now. When you walk into this place, wow, there should be a heart of worship and something in you that says, God, I want to worship you more. I want to be a greater expression. I want to be a louder expression. Some people say, well, God's not deaf. Well, he's not nervous either. Come on. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there will only be 3 minutes of silence in heaven. And after that, heaven will be the loudest place that you'll ever be. Come on now. And yet we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's loud in heaven, it needs to be loud on earth. Come on, church. Come on now. Don't sing, you know, what they say under your voice or what? Don't sing that depressed feeling. Amen. Let your voice begin to bellow out. Come on now. And just begin to give glory and praise to God. You know, I was thinking during the worship tonight, just watching our worship team leading us in worship. And we're saying things like, come on and praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, we shouldn't have to do that. Come on now. They should be trying to keep up with us. Come on. I was doing a conference there in Versailles, Indiana here some years ago, and the worship team was practicing on the platform, and the building was filled, and it was getting close to time to start, and they were just finishing up practicing, but the congregation thought they started worship, and so they just took off in worship. And the worship team like, we're not ready yet. It doesn't matter. God, I've come to praise the Lord. God, I've come to glorify the King. Look at somebody and say, break out. Man, you need to break out because God's given an open door of breaking out in this season. Come on now. So just like it was on the day of Pentecost, God's releasing a suddenly for you. Say a glorious and prosperous year. Amen. Apostle Tom Hammond, Bishop Hammond's youngest son, he received a word this year, and I'm just giving you an excerpt. And his word was to battle at your gate this year. Everybody say that with me. Battle at your gate. Say it again. Battle at your gate. And what he was saying was that there are at least 8 giants that have been assigned to your gates. Now, in 2008, we heard a prophetic word in the beginning of the year. And it was going to be building on, and other networks began to preach it. Amen. And that was opening of new gates, going through your gates, revelation on the gates of heaven, revelation on the gates of Jerusalem, revelation on the apostles at the foundation of the gates. Come on now. And that the 12 tribes of Israel being named at the gates of heaven. Amen. And the authority as you go through your gates. And we begin to preach on gates. I never heard so many messages on gates as we begin to preach in 2008. Amen. But Apostle Tom is saying something just a little bit different. He was saying that in 2008, people begin to turn from their gate because the going got too tough. Come on now. When you get into a hard place and you're pressing your dream and you're pressing your vision and you're trying to press into that place that you know that God has called you, that next level, that next authority, that next glory, that next anointing, when you're pressing into that place, come on now, you have to understand that the gates of hell try to rise up against you and they try to block you, they try to stop you and say, you know, rob you of your faith, rob you of your dream, rob you of your hope. Come on now, hoping that you'll just stay the way that you are. The problem was, as many people did, and many people turned, and many people give up. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Come on, don't give up. You are at your gate of breakthrough. Come on now. You're at your time of birthing. You're at your time of delivery. You're at your time of fulfillment, and you have to battle at your gate. Say, battle at my gate. Come on, you begin to defy the devil and you begin to take authority over principalities and powers and you begin to decree the word of God. Greater is Christ that is in me than he that tries to stand at the door of my gate. Come on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on now, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on now, and no gate of hell is going to overtake me. For greater is Christ that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, church. You need to begin to wage a war and battle at your gate this year. Come on, I'm telling you, some of you at the gate of breakthrough, and it's going to bring the greatest blessing, the greatest turnaround, the greatest opportunity, the greatest fulfillment, amen, that you think that you can fulfill in your life. Come on, listen, you are not finished yet. You are at your threshold of opportunity. Come on. And he said, battle at your gate. In other words, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Come on now. And you begin to activate that word. And you begin to stir the word of God in your spirit. Come on. And you stand and we push the devil back. Whew. Say, push the devil back. He listed at least 8 giants. And I know that there's more, but let me just list these 8 to you. Because I've taken these 8 giants, Apostle, pretty serious. And I think that if you'll take these 8 and you begin to assign prayer to them and begin to wage warfare over them until you know that you have conquered them. Come on. I'll give them to pastor and, you know. But intimidation. Say intimidation. A giant of intimidation is standing at your gate saying that you can't come in here. Come on, trying to intimidate. Who do you think you are? What do you think you have? Come on now. And trying to make you feel like you're a loser. A spirit of false humiliation. The devil will try to humiliate you to talk you out of going through your gate. False accusation. Call accusations to try to set you back and to try to set you up. Amen. To try to bring a definition that would be working opposition against you. The spirit of depression and deception. Manipulation. Come on now. The enemy will try to manipulate things. Amen. To try to get you to turn back from your gate. Maybe it's not the right season. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it's not quite my time. Maybe next year or maybe next month. No, I'm here decreeing to you tonight. Now is the time of salvation. Now's the time of the Lord. Now's the time of your open gate. And God said, I want you to arise and begin to wage a war. And I want you to press on in and break on through your gate. Amen. Giants of pollution, giants of dilution. Come on now. The enemy has tried to sign giants at your gate to say, you can't come in here and you don't have a right to get in here. Look at somebody, say, stand your ground. And then stand your ground. Begin to fight the good fight of faith. Begin to decree the word of the Lord and say that God has sent me here. God is the one that has raised me up. Come on now, each one of you here tonight, you have a story. You have a miracle. You have that evidence, amen, of how God called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Come on now, you had to fight the fight of faith, amen, to get to the place that you're at. God is merely saying, I have a higher place for you. I don't want you to level out where you're at. Come on now, begin to wage a warfare. I can tell you this by the Spirit. There is a harvest of souls that is just waiting to fill this sanctuary. There is a harvest of souls that is waiting for the second service. There's a harvest of souls, come on now, that are just waiting to be impacted, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just add something. Never be embarrassed about the Holy Spirit. Come on. If I check out of the grocery store, I give them $20 bill. They'll say, it costs this much. So I'll say, shandalabaka. They say, what was that? I say, Jigabo say, what is that? Never mind. Come on. Get past being embarrassed about your heavenly language. Come on now and begin to wage war. Do you understand that when you pray in the spirit, in the marketplace, that you are subduing principalities and power? Listen, the devil would be just perfectly happy if we would just wait till we get to church and we do all of our warfare inside the four walls of the church. Come on. No, God has empowered you to be people of impact in your spheres of influence. Amen. So battle at your gate. Amen. Go back at your gate again. Come on and tell the devil, amen, you've had enough of his stuff and you're going to take back everything that the enemy has tried to rob, steal, and everything that he has tried to kill. Say, it's my time. Amen. Prophetess Jane Hammond received another word this year, and it was in relation to a fresh activation, amen, of the prophet's reward. Come on now. Of beginning to receive that blessing back. Come on now. From all that you've given, from all that you've sown, from all that you've contributed. I'm not talking about your money only. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your gifts and your anointing that God has upon your life. All that you've sown, all that you've invested into the kingdom of God. You need to understand there's a prophet's reward. There's an apostolic reward, amen, that comes back to you and it begins to give you double blessing, double favor, double honor. Come on now. And some of us have forgotten about that blessing. And God said, I want you to begin to decree it. I want you to begin to believe it. And I want you to begin to receive it. Come on. Whew. I just said strong in the spirit. Some of you standing right at a threshold of a breakthrough like you have never known before. Come on now. There are some things you're believing God for right now. And God said the answer is already done. The answer is already released. Come on now. I'm just waiting for you to step into it. And we're waiting until it's perfect before we receive it. And God said, no, just step in and walk in it by faith and not by sight. Because somebody say, walk in it. Amen. So she began to receive this revelation to begin to stir up and activate people and the saints of God in the prophet's reward. Come on now, because God has already released an inheritance. He's already released a blessing for you. Now we understand that the prophet's reward, amen, is not money for money or miracle for miracle, but it's the miracle that money can't buy. If I was to ask you tonight, how many of you have a miracle that money's not the issue? Come on now. Money can't buy the miracle that you need. Some people would like to think that money can buy all of them, but money can't buy. Listen, we've lost, I don't know how many multimillionaires this year, amen, that have gone on. I don't know if any of them were saved or unsaved. I don't know. But my point is that they were millionaires. Come on now. Some of them took their own life. Other ones are just, you know, died of infirmities, but multimillionaires and all the money in the world couldn't save them. Come on. Money can't always save you. So the miracle that you need is the money, the miracle that money cannot buy. Come on, and we're using the illustration of the woman, the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. Have you read this story? Amen. How that, you know, the Shunammite woman, she really had a need in her spirit. And she was kind of different in the way that she approached her need, but the Bible says that every time that the prophet Elijah would come to the city, that she would talk to her husband and say, let's have him come stay at our house. Come on. So the Bible says that prophet Elijah would step aside and he would go to the house of the Shunammite woman and they would be blessed in their house and refreshed in their house just because they had the prophet come to their home. I believe that. And, but the Bible says this one year particular. Amen. The Shunammite woman says, listen, the prophet is coming to Shunem and I want him to stay at our house. And her husband says, well, he always stays here. But now other people are wanting him. Well, what do you want me to do? She says, I want to build a room. I want us to, amen, take all that money we have saved and all that stuff you have stuck away out there. And I want us to make an investment. Everybody say an investment. I want us to make an investment and I want us to build an addition on the side of our house. I want to build a prophet's chamber that the prophet can come, he can abide in, he'll be refreshed, he'll be blessed. Come on now, he'll be comfortable, he'll be taken. I want him to be so blessed. The husband comes in agreement with the Shunammite woman and so they do all this construction and they build room. And sure enough, here comes Elijah the prophet. And they said, come stay at our house. We've built a room for you. Come on. The Bible says that Elijah the prophet stayed in that room. He was so blessed. He was so refreshed. Come on now. That he asked his servant Gehazi, he says, what can I do to bless this Shunammite woman? The servant says, well, you know, she does need a miracle. She wants a son. She wants a child. And her husband, well, he's up in years and lost the vision and just doesn't seem to have any passion or faith, and she's desperate. The prophet speaks to the Shunammite woman, and he said, next year at this time, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy in your hand. Wow. Wah! How many of you like to have the miracle come just that way? Come on now. Yeah, in a year, it's yours. You're going to have the miracle in your hand. How many of you like if you hear a prophetic word and God begins to speak a word to you that is going to fulfill a passion and a cry? How many of you would just jump up and down and get excited? Wah! Hallelujah. Run around the building a couple times. Amen. Go eat a banana split. But that wasn't her response. How many of you remember her response? Her response was, don't tease me with that word. I didn't ask you for that word, and don't tease me with something that is so close and near and dear to my heart. Come on. The problem is that I'm not teasing you. In a year, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy. Come on now. And he's going to be a joy, and he's going to bring fulfillment in your life. But her faith was at a place where, you know, I want this word, but how do I receive this word? And yet, blah, blah, blah. Don't tease me with that word. He says, I'm not teasing you with that word. The word is going to be fulfilled. The word is going to come to pass. But I just feel a release in my spirit right now. Amen. The word of the Lord has not teased you. And you need to reach out. And you need to begin to declare. And you need to decree. This is what God has said. And this is the way that it is going to be. Come on now. But you know, on the other hand, I think that Shunammite woman was believing for that word. Otherwise, she wouldn't have done a construction job. Say she had a motive. So I believe there was a motive there of a passion, a desire, and she was wanting to make an investment. Come on now, because she had a miracle need that money couldn't buy. But yet when the miracle come, she was unable just to hear that word. Listen, I'm ministering a word of healing in hearts right now. Because the enemy's trying to disappoint you with the word of the Lord. I was in Montreal. It's been about 10 years ago. I'm there just about every year. But I'd done a conference there. And when I walked into the conference room, there's probably 500 people there. There was a gentleman sitting on the very back row in the back corner. Glasses, mustache, trimmed gentleman, dressed very well. And I walked in and I just reached over and I patted him on the shoulder like I would my son here. And I just patted him on the shoulder and grabbed his hand, shook his hand. Good to see you here tonight. And he's looking at me like, who are you? But when I shake hands with men, I like to squeeze their hand a little bit and pat them a little bit harder. My wife says, pat the women easier, and so I try to. Walked on up to the platform, and when they called me up to minister, such as here tonight, when I got into the pulpit, I heard the Holy Spirit say, call that man out and give him a word. I don't know what God wants to say to him, but God says, I want you to call that man now. And I said, God... We do argue with God, by the way. I've argued with God a lot. My name's not Moses. But I said, God, that man will think that I'm focusing on him because I shook his hand and greeted him and hugged on him and all before I come up. He'll think I'm just trying to zero in on him. And God says, prophesy to him. And so I said, well, that gentleman on the back corner, on the very back row, if you'd please stand. And he stood up and I began to prophesy the word of the Lord to that man. And while I'm prophesying, my prophetee walks out of the building. And here's the profiteer prophesying to an empty chair. Now, they didn't teach me in Bible college or in our prophetic training schools, what do you do when your prophetee walks out and you're just prophesying to an empty chair? And so the Holy Spirit said, keep prophesying. And so for almost 5 minutes, I prophesied to an empty chair at the back of the sanctuary. Come on now. Whoa, ask people to clap and give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. But all that time, I got something turning on the inside of me. What happened? What wrong? Did I upset him? Did he get disturbed? All these things flood through your mind. Went ahead, preached my message. The next morning, that gentleman come back to the conference meeting. And the elders give him a tape. That's how we used to record things. My grandchildren don't even know what they are. They took him in a side room and listened to the tape and listened to the word of the Lord and all that God was speaking to him, and that how God was going to bless him, and God's called him to be an apostle, and how that he's going to be a planter of churches, and how that God's going to multiply him, the favor that God's going to give him. And it was just, the word just went on and on. And the man shared his testimony with us at the end of the service, and he said, when I came to the meeting that night, he said, that same day I got the left foot of fellowship out of the organization I've been with for almost 30 years. And we just built a brand new sanctuary. And I was in my office and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak with other tongues. Come on now. When I shared my testimony, the keys were taken away from me and I was put out of my church and my credentials were frozen. He said, when I came, I was hurting so bad. Come on now, that when the word came, I couldn't receive it. I couldn't stand to hear it. Come on now. I went back up 2 years later, done a minister's conference in Montreal, and who do you believe was there? That same pastor came, and guess what? He had 3 other pastors with him, and guess what? He had already planted 2 churches. Come on. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that prophet's reward. Amen. God is going to reward you. God is going to fulfill you. God's going to be faithful to His word. Amen. But you need to war over that word. You need to stay with that word. Decree that word. Come on now. And stand in faith. Why? Because God is not finished yet. Look at somebody and say, the best is yet to come. God, there's more moving, there's more stirring, there's more activating that God is doing. And so that prophet's reward, amen, when that word comes to you, maybe you don't fully understand it, maybe it looks impossible to you, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. So it's a season, amen, of an activation of the prophet's reward. And God said, I'm going to take you from one wave to the next wave to the next wave. Look at somebody say, be a wave surfer. I was in Brisbane, Australia, and they took me down by the river in Brisbane. It's very beautiful, and they have a lot of coffee shops and things along the walkways of the river there in Brisbane. And they had a few little shops, you know, for, you know, visitors from out of the country to go into. And so I went looking through these shops, and I like looking at ties and things like that, you know. And so I know it's not all popular with people, but I still like ties. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyway. And so I'm looking through all these ties, and I find a tie in that rack. Would you believe there's a tie there that is black, and it's got a beautiful white fluffy sheep right on the front of it, and he's on a surfboard, and he's right on the crest of a wave, and another wave is coming behind him, and he has on a top hat and sunglasses and a scarf on, and it's a sheep just surfing the wave. And I said, God, that is so prophetic. I've got to buy that tie. I still have that tie. Never been bold enough to wear it, but I've got that tie. Amen. Amen. But I saw that as a picture of the kingdom, a picture of the church. Amen. God said, I'm putting you on the crest of the wave this season. Come on now. And I want you to be ready for that next coming wave of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to flood right over the river of life. It's going to flood right over this northern Indiana. Come on now. And it's going to be like a fire, amen, that is going to merge and begin to spring forth in this geographical area. I'm telling you, there's going to be political favor. There's going to be financial favor. Come on now. And there's going to be favor of promotion that's coming to your area. Come on now. And it's like a mighty rushing wind going to blow through this place. Look at somebody say, get ready. Yeah, when you hear the word of the Lord, you begin to prepare for that word. You prepare for the natural, begin to prepare for the spiritual and for the supernatural.